And I'm grateful to be able to see 2022. And I'm glad that I'm able to bring it in with my brothers and sisters in Christ. To those of you who may be visiting or logged on for the very first time, let me say from the bottom of our hearts here at the South Fayette Church of Christ that we're glad that you're here. And it's truly, truly a blessing and an honor to have those come and worship with us in spirit and in truth. And to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, going into 2022, let us remember to keep the main thing the main thing. And what that means for us going into 2022 is to have a zeal and a desire for God's word, a hunger and a thirst for the knowledge of the things that God desires for us to do. Have a love for one another as Christ also loved us, and a mind to work, having a willingness to do whatever it takes to extend and expand God's kingdom, and keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus as we strive on this time side of life to become better men and women of God. If you have your Bibles with you this morning or electronic devices, we'll be looking at the book of Habakkuk and chapter 3, looking at verses 16 through 19. And the title of my sermon this morning is Trusting God in the Tough Times. Trusting God in Tough Times. Looking at Habakkuk chapter 3, beginning with verse 16, it reads, I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. The book of Habakkuk is the eighth book in 12 minor prophets that are in the Bible. It's attributed to the prophet Habakkuk as probably being composed around the late 7th century BC. And of the three chapters in this book, the two are a dialogue between Yahweh and the prophet. And in this book of Habakkuk, it's all about faith in God. In fact, the key verse in the whole book is found in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, which states, the righteous shall live by faith. Habakkuk is one of God's prophets, but in this chapter, in chapter 1, he brought about a complaint to God. He said, when I look around, I see a lot of sin. I feel like we really need you, God. Not only do we need you, but we need you to do something about this sin problem. But it seems like you're not doing anything, and then it's almost like you don't care. And God's response to Habakkuk was, don't worry, I do care. It reminds me of the song, don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right. God is trying to let him know that everything is going to be just fine. But before long, I understand that the Babylonians will come in and they will destroy Judah because of their sin, which only confused and upset Habakkuk even more. Can you imagine knowing that we're going to be invaded by China or Russia and there's nothing we can do about it? And yet we still have to live in this world and see the sin and see how we are still divided and we're not together, still knowing our faith. That would be hard to swallow, wouldn't it? Well, the book of Habakkuk is a book of meditation on how to live in the waiting place. That word wait is very difficult for a lot of us. And it ain't just, you know, people in the world. It also applies to Christian Christians understanding what it means to live in the waiting place. And we learn from this book that the waiting place is a difficult place. The waiting place is not an easy place, but it's a necessary place. But I need for us to understand this morning, beloved, that God can use the act of trusting and waiting in the mindset of our doubts, in the mindset of our fears and of our pains and of our immaturity. You know, when we enter into the family of God, I think it's natural to think that things will go smoothly on this faith journey, right? I obeyed the gospel. I'm doing what's right. So at this point in my life, things should be fine, right? I mean, I'm connected, right? I got connections. My God is my father. I'm a part of his family. So, of course, I'm exempt from traffic jams and cars breaking down and ailments in my body and having difficulties in relationships and having to spend money and do all these things. I'm exempt from that, right? Because I'm in Christ. Habakkuk was surrounded by injustice, immorality. He was surrounded by violence, just as we are in this country today. And I think it's only natural for us to pray that God do something about it. I'm sure you're tired of this pandemic. I'm sure you're tired of turning on the television and there's something going on all the time, whether it's violence, sexual immorality, whether there's injustice. We are sick of it. God, can you please just do something about it? We want to see changes. We would love to see justice and godliness all over the world. But I say this, if things don't change, then maybe we need to pray for God's judgment. You ever thought about that? When was the last time you said, you know what? Lord, I'm praying for your judgment because that's what we deserve. I'm praying that you do something about this problem that exists in this country today. We pray for God to do something and to make things right. But here's what I find. I find often we are praying for God to make things easier and not make them right. And there's a difference. Lord, if you can just take this away, if you could just make this disappear, opposed to whatever it is that needs to be done, how it needs to be done, as long as it's right. I'm praying for godliness and justice and peace. We're always looking for the easy way out. But I'm here to remind you, wherever there is sin, we can be assured a time of judgment is coming. It is absolutely coming. And we have a lot of phrases for this, right? We say things like, one day the chickens will come home to roost. We say things like, what goes around comes around. If you dance, you gotta pay the piper. You reap what you sow. Here's what I have to say. However you want to put it, sooner or later, we will face the consequences and choices we have made. And that's true for nations, and it's also true for us as individuals. No one rebels against God without inviting his judgment. So when I think about the message in Habakkuk, we looked at the message in chapter 1. I think the message in chapter 2 is God told Habakkuk clearly in regard to the Babylonians that judgment was coming, right? And once Habakkuk heard this message, he understood it, right? The whole tone of the book changes once he understands what's happening. The beginning of this book and the ending are very different. They're very different. In chapter 1, Habakkuk is saying, God, I don't understand. In chapter 2, he is saying, God is saying to Habakkuk, be patient. And so Habakkuk did wait. And even though things around him didn't seem to get any better, in chapter 3, he has peace. So the question is, how do we get to that point? So this morning, I want to notice three important facts. One of the things is that nothing changed on the outside. Nothing changed on the outside. Things were still happening on the outside, but Habakkuk decided to make a change on the inside. I think sometimes we allow outside circumstances to dictate our spiritual character. Because when your outside circumstances don't line up to what you expect, then we start acting differently spiritually. We don't act upon faith like we should. We don't pray like we should. We don't trust in God like we should. We don't stay the course like we should. We continue to miss the mark because of our outside circumstances. And we as believers going into 2020, especially here at South Fayette, we have to stop allowing outside circumstances to dictate our spiritual growth in the Lord. In chapter 1, Habakkuk is upset and confused. In chapter 3, he's at peace. The beginning is filled with questions and complaints. I'm sure we all have questions. I'm sure we all have grievances. I'm sure there's all types of things we want to present to God about what we would like to change, what we would like to be different, how we would like the world to act, and how we should be. But the end came with affirmation and confidence. That's that word I want you to remember as I go through this lesson, is waiting. Waiting on the Lord. So the question is, how did Habakkuk get from one place of confusion, of worry and concern, to get to a place of faith and confidence and joy? He was able to make this transition when nothing around him changed. Remember what I always tell you, young people especially. Everything around you changes when you change. Things don't change around you unless you change. You change, people change. Your circumstances change. Your attitude change. Your conversation change. Where you hang out, your habits change when you make the conscious decision to change. When you think about it, there are people who are still mocking God. Violence was running through the streets rampantly. The Babylonians are still coming to attack Jerusalem. And outwardly, everything seems to be messed up. Everything seems to be going haywire. But something changed on the inside of Habakkuk. It wasn't an outside thing. It was an inside thing. And how did that happen? Well, the first thing that I want to look at this morning, when we're talking about making those type of transitions in our lives, when it seems like it's full of confusion, when it seems like nothing is going to change, when there's nothing but worry and fear, how do we get to faith and confidence? Well, the first thing we need to do is, my first point is, we need to remember what God has already done. I say it all the time. We ought to be thankful. If God does nothing else, he has done enough. But I really want you to think about what I'm saying. At this point in your life, I want you to think about what God has already done in your life up until this point. Before you were even here, he had already did something for you that you could not do for yourself, that no other man, no mom, nor dad, nor best friend could do for you. You know, many people come to me sometimes and say, hey, man, how is it that a God that's supposed to love us sends us to hell? I say, great question. That's a great question. But let me tell you this. You was already on your way to hell. You were already on your way to hell, but he created an avenue. He created an escape for you before you were even here. He's already done enough. So when you feel like, what can you do? What else can God do for me? He has already created an avenue for you to never, ever have to hurt again. You never have to whine. You never have to complain. You never have to deal with pandemics or diseases or injustice or racism. When you put on Christ in baptism, you open up that avenue, you put him on, and you live for him. And what he has done is created an ever after for you. And we didn't even deserve it. So when things get hard, the first thing you need to think about is what he's already done. In Habakkuk chapter 3, looking at verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, this is the prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. Lord, I have heard the news about you. I am amazed at what you have done. Lord, do great things once again in our time. Make those things happen again in our own days. Habakkuk starts saying, God, I know all the stories. I know the amazing things that you can do. I'm so grateful of that. I've heard of the past miracles. I've heard of all the wonderful things, your power, your might, your majesty. I've heard about your glory. And all I want to do is for you to do those great things that you've done before again. Can you do those again? Let me ask you a question if we're honest with ourselves. Well, let me just be honest with me. I can't speak for you. I have to admit in times in my life where I feel like God's presence seems more real than other times. Like I can really feel God's presence. I can really feel that he's working. I can really feel that it was only him. There was no other way, right? Have you ever been in that part of your life where you like, I can really feel the connection between me and the Father? And then there are times where it seems that God's power is more evident than others. Where it feels like, man, he's really working. I can feel it. And then there's times where I feel like he's not as close as I would like for him to be. I don't feel as close as I like to feel to him. But I can see that God was doing God things. And there are times where I get to the point where I think that I have to say, God, I remember when you did all the stuff that you did that I'm asking you to do now. You've already done it before. I've been in situations where I said, Lord, help me out of this, and he did. You think about every time you said, Lord, please, Lord, help, Lord, forgive. Can I get another chance? Help me in this area. I know that I told you I was going to do this, and I failed again, and I failed again. Here I am, Lord, coming to you again, over and over again. We have to remember what he's already done for us up until this point. So why would we believe any different because times are tough? We need to look back and remember the faithfulness, the character, and the goodness of God. We can't start measuring what's going on with the world and equate that to the power of God. We need to remember what he's done. And Habakkuk does this. He goes down memory lane thinking about the goodness and the power of God. Someone put it this way. The more you know about the planner, the more you can trust the plan. Why don't you think about that? The more you know about the planner, the more you can trust the plan. You're not going to trust something that you don't know anything about, that you have no knowledge of, that you don't understand or have a relationship with. You don't put no time into. Most people don't trust God because they don't know him. How many people you going to go up to and do something for that you don't know and go out of your way for somebody? I mean, a complete and total stranger. It's very rare that you would do that because you don't know them. You don't know them enough to trust them. You just gonna go up to a stranger, give him the keys to your house and say, hey, man, you know, hey, it's all good. Just come and go as you please. It doesn't work that way. So if we really want to be in a place of trust and faith, you got to get to know God. And I think that that's the key here. And it's not that Habakkuk suddenly understands everything that God is doing, and nor will we. That's not it at all. In fact, at the end of the book, Habakkuk really doesn't understand any more than he did in the beginning, actually. But the difference is this. He understands that he can trust God because of who God is. See, he comes to the realization it doesn't really matter as long as that I understand and know that God is in control. It doesn't matter how many variants come out, fluenza, fluona, fluomicrona, whatever you want to add to it, Rona. It does not matter. God is still in control. It doesn't matter how many times we turn on the television and see hate crimes or violence. God is still in control. However many times we look up and we see the numbers up and there's 100 people here and we look down and it's only 20 people in this church. If half the people leave, God is still in control. If you lose your house, God is still in control. If your health starts to fade, God is still in control. In these verses, there is a focus on God's activity in the past. And we have to remember what he's done for us. Habakkuk especially focuses on Exodus, you know, in the time of the wilderness, in the crossing of the Jordan River. That was a time when God repeatedly performed spectacular miracles. And all I'm saying to you is, in the same instance as Habakkuk can remember that, can't you remember all of the wonderful, miracle, and powerful things that God has done for you in your life? And yet we're at a point where we don't understand, well, what are you doing, God? What are you doing? We're talking about the same God that punished his people with adversaries and then turn around and punish the adversaries for messing with his people. You don't need to really understand. You just need to do and trust in God. That's it. And so when we're going through tough times, we need to do this. Over in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 3, the verse says, I see God moving across the desert, right? He is the Holy One coming from Mount Paran. His brilliant splendor fills the heavens, and the earth is filled with his praise. Habakkuk goes back in his mind to what God did when he delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. I want us to continue to remember how many times that we've been delivered out of Egypt. Spiritually, how many times you didn't went back to Egypt? I've been back a few times. I've been there. I had to tell Dee Dee, now we got a new thing. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't go to Egypt. Don't go back. But a lot of times we go back. So God took his people to Mount Sinai. And Habakkuk is remembering that he led his people across the desert to get to the land of Canaan. He's just remembering all of these wonderful things that God has done. And whenever we're confused about what's going on in our life and in the world, we need to remember and go back to God knows what he's doing. We base a lot of our decisions and our faith walk on what we can do. Not what God can do, what we can do. How I can change the situation. How I can fix it. What's my place in this? Your place in this as a believer is to believe and be faithful. Sometimes we read about everything God did in the Bible and we think that that's what God used to be. You ever thought about that? Yeah, man, he was parting seas and throwing plagues, and that's the God of old. Like he had a makeover or something. Like he changed who he was. He went to a life coach and decided to do something different. Yeah, I used to be like this, and I was striking people down and hitting them with sickness and leprosy and all that. But I don't do that no more. He's still the same God he was then as he is today. He hadn't changed. He's still the same God. We need to remember that. Now, God is good when things are bad, and God is good when things are good. It doesn't change. He's still a good God. He's still an awesome God, a powerful God. It's unfortunate that we live in a world of sin. But here's the second point. And understanding and remembering what God has already done, we also need to accept what God is doing. Because a lot of people can't accept what he's doing in your life right now. You may be going through a tough time, but that's part of the plan. Now, I don't expect for you to say, well, you know, I'm just going to give up and I don't expect God to do anything. That's not what I'm saying. But it does mean that sometimes the answer doesn't come as quickly as you might want it to. You might have to exercise a little bit of patience. We need to accept God for what he's doing right now in our lives. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, right? Because you remember Paul was dealing with an ailment, right? He was saying, I had this thorn in my flesh. And he pleaded with the Lord at least three times. Can you please just take this problem away from me? And then 2 Corinthians 12, 19, what did he tell him? He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. He didn't say, my power is made perfect in your strength. My power is made perfect because things are going good. My power is made perfect because your life is. My power is made perfect in your weakness. When God didn't answer his prayer the way he wanted him to, Paul could have gone into a state of depression. He could have just said, well, okay, well, that's the God. He's supposed to be a loving God and a caring God. And all he said when I was hurting on my side and this thorn in my flesh, that his grace is sufficient enough. What? That's the attitude of people today. Like, what? You're God. Your grace is sufficient. I need more than grace. My kids got to eat. I got to pay bills. I got to live. I got dreams. I got goals. And your grace is sufficient enough for me? You see how that sounds? But that's how we act, though. You ain't got to say it. You know, a lot of times we justify what we don't say. I'm justifying what we don't do and what we are doing. You know that the phrase waiting patiently comes from the Hebrew word meaning to rest, to settle down and remain. It's the same word of the Old Testament when he talked about the promised land where the Israelites would have rest from their enemies. It's the same thing. And sometimes things happen in our lives that we don't like, but you know what? You got to just accept it. We don't have to like it. But what I'm saying is we have to trust God because he knows what he's doing. And when we do that, we can accept what he's doing. A lot of people can't come to the grips of accepting what he's doing. That's why it's so hard for people to cross over from the world into Christ. Because I can't accept what he's doing, the changes that he's making in me. All of a sudden, I want to be around Christ-like people. All of a sudden, I want to sing songs and praises. I want to share the gospel message with people. I'm on fire for the Lord, but I can't be at two places at the same time. I can't be two people at the same time. So is it I'm choosing the world or I'm choosing God? So we have to remember what God has done in the past and accept what he's doing right now. And my third and final point is, not only should we remember what he's done in the past and accept what he's doing right now, but trust what he's going to do in the future. Habakkuk says, I don't understand what's going on, and I don't like it that the Babylonians should be punishing us. But he says, in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16, I will wait patiently for the day of disaster that will come to the people who attack us. I'm going to wait because what? I believe eventually Babylon will get theirs. I'm not interested in who's going to get back what they're getting. God is going to take care of that. And you know why? Because he said so. Because he simply said so. And after Habakkuk accepts his present situation, there's an absolute trust in God. That I accept that you are in control. No matter how bleak it looks, I accept that you're in control so I can be at peace and knowing that my God is in control. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 18, it says, fig trees may not grow figs, and there may not be grapes on the vines. There may be no olives growing and no food growing in the field. There may be no sheep in the pens and no cattle in the barns, but I still will be glad in the Lord. I will rejoice in God, my Savior.
When I think about this, it's we're not immune to market crashes. We're not immune to diseases. You're not immune to broken relationships, your children becoming wayward, you know, bad things happening in your life. We're not immune to those things. We're not immune to pestilence and pandemics. We're not immune to that. As a matter of fact, it's at an all-time high today. We're not immune. But I want to ask you, what happens if the stock market implodes tomorrow? What if everything that you've been saving and everything that you've invested in, you look in there and it says absolutely zero? What will you do then? What would you do then? You done with God because you don't have any more money? You done with God because your house burned down? You done with God because you've lost your job? You done with God because you're going through some difficulties in your life right now? We should be able to say like Habakkuk, even though I don't like it, and even though I don't understand it, God, and even though it's uncomfortable for me, I know for a fact that I can put my trust in you because your promises are true. You said that you would take care of your people. And if I'm your people, you will take care of me. If I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, you will take care of me. I pray that every single one of us would grow to have what I call the Habakkuk chapter 3 type of faith. That no matter what's going on around me on the outside, I'm concerned about my spiritual growth and faith and my connection with God on the inside. I want you to know that you can have a chapter 3 type of faith, but you got to have a chapter 1 kind of question. You have to have a chapter 1 kind of question. Then you got to have a chapter 2 kind of patience. And then after you have a chapter 2 kind of patience, you understand that God can do more with us spiritually than he could ever do with us physically. The last verse of Habakkuk says, in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 19, "The Lord God is my strength. He makes me like a deer that does not stumble, so I can walk on the steep mountains." Habakkuk's point is this: if you trust in God, he will give you stability in those slippery moments of your life. He will give you the ability to stand when everything else around you is falling apart. But the only way that we can have this assurance is saying it the way Habakkuk: "The Lord God is my strength." And the question is, do you really believe that? Do you really truly believe that God is your strength? Or is your 401k your strength? Is your wife and your husband your strength? Are your children your strength? Your career, your dreams, your aspirations, is that your strength? Because I'm going to tell you something, when it does not go to plan, how strong are you truly going to be? But if God is your strength, no matter what happens, you will always be strong. You will always be able to stand when everyone else is failing and falling. If you cannot say the Lord is my strength, you will find the journey of life to be a very slippery slope. The Lord God is my strength. He makes me like a deer that does not stumble. You ever seen the National Geographic, how them goats be on the side of the mountains and how they be, and you be trying to figure out, now how did he, and how? And they just be up there just comfortable. They don't look like they scared. You can see rocks falling beside and they jumping from one little small, I mean, and they not small animals. They like on the cliffs with four legs. Those mountains are a representation of the challenges that you will face in your life. And you can be just like those rams, billy goats, or the deer. You won't slip if you're holding on to God's hand. And if you fall, I can guarantee you he'll catch you. I can guarantee you he'll catch you. Isaiah pointed out God's ways are not man's ways in Isaiah 55 and verse 9. And sometimes what God is doing doesn't make sense to us. And God doesn't promise that he would explain everything to us. But we have to have the faith to trust in him that he knows exactly what he's doing. I preached this lesson to you all this morning because I felt it. It's been a tough time. It's already tough. We going into 2022, and it's already seemed that this is going to be an uphill battle. Every week there's a new variant. Every week there's tragedy going on in the world. And I know that it's not as prevalent as it was when we were spending as much time glued to the television, but these things are still happening. Countries are still at war. People are still dying. People are still killing each other for no reason, senseless acts. None of that has changed. And we all know that there is nothing new under the sun. I know that and I hear it, but I'm telling you, when I was younger, it felt different. It felt like the 80s was a lot different than 2000. But the fact of the matter is, it's not that different. The fact of the matter is nothing new is under the sun, and the devil is as busy as he was back in the day before you was born that he is that now that you are born and you're an adult. He is still busy. But I just wanted to leave you with this. Ultimately, the message in Habakkuk is, I don't know what lies ahead of me. It may be good things. It may be bad. But either way, I will trust in God until the end. Everything will work out fine for those of us who love, who trust, and are faithful to God. I'll say that again. Every single thing that's going on in your life, if you just put your trust, your faith, and give everything to God, it will work out in the end. I want you to remember, as we close, what God has done in the past, I want you to accept what he's doing right now, and I want you to have the trust of the promises that he has for us and what he's going to do for us in 2022, which is the future here at Southfield. So if you are a Christian and you have obeyed the gospel and maybe you're struggling, maybe you're that person I'm talking about this morning, you've been having difficulties trusting God in your tough times, you have an opportunity to make that right, to truly put all of your faith in him. I just have these moments where I think about how good God is, like how great he is. You know, we have people who argue if God is real, right? I said this as an argument. I said, in order for there to be a creation, there has to be a creator. You can't have creation without a creator. And if God isn't real, then I need the real one to stand up. I need the one who produced and made whales and elephants and trees. I want him to produce it right now. I want that person who's able to show me how a woman can carry multiple children in her body over and over again and explain that to me. Show me how that's done. I want you to make a human being. I want you to raise somebody from the dead. I want you to show me how you put the ocean together, how you put a body of water. How is the fact that this person can hang the earth and the balance in a place called space? Explain that to me. God is real. And he is powerful and he's mighty. And we have to get to a place and a point where we truly trust him with everything. Do you understand what that means when somebody says, I love you and I love you more than anything? You ever heard somebody say, I love you more than anything? Ask yourself, do you truly love God more than anything? And when you ask yourself that question, the next one is, what does that look like? What does it look like to love God more than anything? And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can do so by putting him on in baptism, trusting his word, and loving him more than anything. So if you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation, please come now as together we stand and sing.